We're going to be in 1 Thessalonians. I know that's no surprise to you guys who have been with us for a while. Next time that I preach with you guys will be the last time that we'll be in 1 Thessalonians. We should be able to wrap it up the next time that we're together. But when we started studying 1 Thessalonians in June, I never imagined that the Lord would teach us so much. I'm so thankful to God for how he is working through this study to teach and change us. And I pray that, you know, we will continue to grow and that he will use us for his glory. So as we continue our study in 1 Thessalonians, let's just start with a review of what we've learned. In Acts 17, we learn that the church started with Paul and Silas coming to Thessalonica and proclaiming that Jesus is the Messiah. Several people believed, and many of these were new followers that started the church. The Jews persecuted the church, and Paul and Silas were forced to leave. In 1 Thessalonians, we learned about the believers in the church of Thessalonica. They were chosen by God. Faith, love, and hope were evident in their lives. They remained faithful and they served the living and true God and waited for Jesus to return. In 1 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 12, we learned about the ministry of Paul and Silas as they encouraged and comforted and implored the Thessalonians to live worthy of God. And they did that through how they spoke the gospel, how they lived to please and glorify God, how they cared for the Thessalonians, and how they served the Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 2, 13 through 20, we celebrated the message of hope, proclaiming that when Jesus comes again, those who believe will stand in the presence of our Lord and Savior at his coming. 1 Thessalonians 3, we learned that our faith in Christ Jesus and how we define love is what sets us apart. And in 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 through 12, Paul encouraged the church to live and please God through purity and love. This morning, as we continue in our series, Paul will encourage the church with hope. So if you have your Bibles with you, turn to 1 Thessalonians 4, 13. Most all of us in this room have experienced the death of a family member or a friend. I have already lost a great-grandmother, a grandmother and grandfather on my mom's side, a step-grandfather, a stepfather, and a father. Death is not easy. At times, it's very difficult. And like you and me, the Thessalonians experienced death. They loved those that they had lost, and they longed to see them. And Paul knew that some were struggling, and he wanted to encourage them with hope. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 says this, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, concerning those who sleep, so that you will not grieve like the rest who have no hope." Now, Paul is not saying, do not grieve. There are some out there that believe that Christians are not to grieve. This belief is not supported by anything that we see in Scripture. Throughout the New Testament, we see examples of believers who grieve the loss of those they love. Martha and Mary grieved when Lazarus died. John 11:19, many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them and the loss of their brother. Jesus even grieved after the death of John the Baptist. In Matthew 14:13, we see that he withdrew to be alone. Just because we are Christians does not mean that death should not affect us. It will. Which is why Paul encourages them not to grieve like the rest who have no hope. Paul spends the rest of chapter 4 reminding the Thessalonians where hope is found. So one of the first things that he says, hope is found in Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 4:14. If you're following along with your Bibles, he says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, in the same way through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep." We look for hope in so many different ways. We look for hope in money. We feel that if we had more money, things would be better and easier. We look for hope in our possessions. We feel the things that we own will make us happy. We look for hope in the way that we look. We feel that what we wear and how we dress, what our bodies look like, these will make us feel better about ourselves and who we are. We look for hope in each other. We feel our friends, the people we hang out with, those we live with, will make us feel good. The thing about all of these things we look for hope in is they fade. We never have enough money. Our possessions break. The way we look changes. People fail us. None of these things that we turn to will give us hope. 1 Peter 1:3 through 4 says this: "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept to you in heaven." Jesus gives us a living hope and an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. This morning, you might be here and you're looking for hope. You want to find it, but all the places you look end with disappointment. It is only through grace that we have hope. Ephesians 2:1-5 says that you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you previously lived according to the ways of this world, according to the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit not working in the disobedient. And we too all previously lived among them in our fleshly desires, carrying out the inclinations of our flesh and thoughts. And we were by nature children under wrath, as others were also. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love that he had for us, made us alive with Christ, even though we were dead in trespasses. You are saved by grace. Without Christ, you are dead in your trespasses and hope. There is no hope. God, who is rich in mercy, loves us and has made a way through Christ Jesus. If you are here this morning and you are looking for hope, turn to Christ. It is only through believing in his death and resurrection that one can have hope. But Paul goes on to also say that hope is found in his return. If you're following along with me in 1 Thessalonians, turn to 1 Thessalonians 4:15-16. He says, "For we say this to you by word from the Lord, we who are still alive at the Lord's coming will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the archangel's voice, and with the trumpet of God. The dead in Christ will rise first." Now, I don't know about you, but knowing that one day Jesus will return gives me hope. It also inspires the need to share what he has done. When Jesus returns, everything will change. So hold your place in 1 Thessalonians, but turn to Revelation. and go to Revelation 21, 1 through 5. I want you guys to see these passages. And the next few sections, we're going to actually go back and forth between 1 Thessalonians and Revelation. So Revelation 21, 1 through 5 says this. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. I also saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared like a bride adorned for her husband. Then I heard a loud voice from the throne, "Look, God's dwelling is with humanity, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and will be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Grief, crying, and pain will be no more, because the previous things have passed away." And then the one seated on the throne said, "Look, I am making everything new. No more grief, crying, pain. The dead will rise." These passages bring so much hope, especially in light of the world that we live in. Every day there is suffering, sadness, sickness, and death. Our world is full of pain and sorrow. When Jesus returns, he will make everything new, a promise that gives hope. It also inspires the need to share, because when Jesus returns, he will judge the unrighteous. Turn to Revelation 20, 12 through 15. Revelation 20, 12 through 15 says this. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by what was written in the books. Then the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. Each one was judged according to their works. Death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. Hell does exist. It is a real place that those whose name is not in the book of life will spend eternity in. Knowing this should inspire us to share what Jesus has done for us. Our friends, family, those that Christ puts in our lives, they need to hear about his mercy and his grace. They need to know that he has made a way for them through Jesus Christ. I pray that the Lord will help us share what he has done for us. We can only do that with him and his help. But it is something that we must do. Share what he's done for us. Paul gives a third way of finding hope. He says in 1 Thessalonians 4:17. So flip back, hold on to Revelation, but flip back to 1 Thessalonians 4:17. He says that hope is found in knowing we will always be with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4:17 says this, "Then we who are still alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord." We will always be with the Lord. When I hear those words, it brings such hope, knowing that when Christ comes back, it will not be temporary. it will be something that is permanent. We will get to be with him forever. And what will it look like to be with the Lord? We'll flip back to Revelation 22, 1 through 5. So just hold your place in 1 Timothy, but just flip over to Revelation 22, 1 through 5, because this is what it will look like. Such a beautiful picture of heaven. Revelation 22, 1 through 5 says, "Then he showed me the river of water of life, clear as a crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Down the middle of the city's main street, the tree of life was on each side of the river, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree are for healing the nations. And there will no longer be any curse. The throne of God and the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. Night will be no more. People will not need light of the lamp or the light of the sun, because the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever." I want you to get a picture of what heaven's going to look like. Listen, trees that produce 12 fruits every month. Think about this. It will be like getting fresh fruit all the time. It never stops growing and is available every single month. A tree that constantly produces fruit for us, nourishment, food. And it doesn't matter if it's fall or spring or summer, that tree will continue to produce what we need. But listen to this, if that's not enough for you, the leaves of this tree will heal the nations. Think about it. No more wars and fighting. The leaves off this tree will heal the nations. We try to do it with democracy and all different types of ways, and we can't succeed. But the tree that God gives us, the leaves on that tree, will succeed at bringing peace and healing. No longer any curse. Think about no more sin, pain, sickness, or death. The most beautiful part of what heaven will be, the throne of God and the Lamb will be in the city. God and Jesus will rule all. And his servants will worship him. We will worship him all the time, not when it's convenient to us, not when things have gone bad, not when we think we need God, but every single moment of our life will be about worshiping him. We will see his face. We're not able to see God in Jesus right now, but we will one day see him face to face. And oh, what a glorious moment it will be to see our Lord and Savior. And the Lord will be our light. We won't have to worry about power, because the Lord will be our source of all power. And they will reign forever and ever, meaning that this will last forever. It's not something that's temporary, but it is something that is permanent and everlasting. Folks, just as hell is a real place, heaven is a real place. And our Lord and Savior is there right now, preparing a place for you and I. John 14, 1 through 3 says this, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If not, I would have told you. I'm going away to prepare a place for you. And if I go away and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you may also be." It is amazing to me that not only did Christ make a way for you and I to be with him and his Father in heaven through giving his life for us, but he is up there right now preparing a place for those who believe. Please don't miss this beautiful picture. Christ, who died on the cross for you and I, is up there right now preparing a place for you and I. What a beautiful picture, guys. When I read this, it excites me and it gives me such hope to know that there's a Savior that loves me enough that he not only gave his life for me, not only gave his life for you, but he's even up there right now making a place for us to spend with him forever. If that doesn't excite you, I don't know what's going to, because that right there excites me to know that he is up there doing this. And this is overwhelming to me. Listen, I don't understand why he would do this for me, nor do I understand why he would do this for you. None of us deserve this, but he loves us so much, a love that is unexplainable and incomprehensible. God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son loves us. And knowing that one day I will be with him gives me such hope. So Paul instructs the church not to grieve like the rest with no hope. We are to grieve, but we are to grieve with hope. And he reminds the Thessalonians church that hope is found in Jesus Christ. Hope is found in his return. That hope is found in knowing we will always be with the Lord. And so the question is, how should we respond to this hope? Well, let's turn back to 1 Thessalonians 4:18 because he answers that question. First, he says, encourage one another with these words. 1 Thessalonians 4:18. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. We will all experience loss. There is no one in this room that is not going to experience loss. And Paul tells us that we are to encourage one another, not to grieve like those as no hope, but to grieve like those who have hope. Reminding us that hope is found only in Jesus Christ, in his return, and knowing we will always be with the Lord. We have such a great opportunity right now, this very second, to show this to Cody and Jessica, folks. That passing of their uncle just at 4:30 this morning, I had no idea that the timing of this would be so right. But what Paul encourages us to do is to love on them and to help them through this and to be with them, reminding them of where hope is found, that it's found in Jesus Christ, it's found in his return, and knowing that one day we will spend eternity with the Lord. And so, church, when death comes, let us encourage one another with these words, as Paul encourages us to. But he doesn't stop there. He goes on to say that we should also be ready. 1 Thessalonians 5:1 through 5. About the times and the season, brothers and sisters, you do not need anything to be written to you, for you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. When they say peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them like labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in the dark for this day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light and children of day. We do not belong to the night or the darkness. Listen to what Paul says here about the Lord's return. One, he says that no one knows when Jesus will return. Yesterday, as I was writing this. Billy Graham's daughter had tweeted something about things have been set in motion for the end times to come. I have great respect for him and his family. But no one knows when Jesus will return, not even the Grahams. And so when people get in front of you and says, Jesus Christ is returning tomorrow, you should be very questionable of those types of things. Because no one knows when Jesus will return. But what we do know is Jesus will come back. We know that for a fact. And listen to how Paul says that he will come. He will come like a thief in the night. He will come like labor pains on a pregnant woman. You ever heard of a thief coming to your house and saying, hey, tonight I'm going to break into your home? That doesn't happen. Thieves don't warn you. They show up unexpectedly. And has a woman ever truly known when she was going to have her child? I mean, they gave us a date and said, yeah, Tiffany, you may have a baby at this time. But did we really know for a fact that Timothy and Isabel would come during those days? No, it was a surprise to us. And that's how Jesus' return will be to us. We won't be expecting it. But we know he will be coming back. And so what 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 5 is saying is, be ready when Jesus returns. If he came back right now, are you ready? Don't answer that too quickly. Really think about it. If Jesus Christ came back right now, in this moment, are you ready? The only thing that can give you and I security that makes us ready is salvation through Jesus Christ. Listen, he gave his life for you and I so that we may live together with him. Do you believe that Jesus died and rose again? We pray that if you are here and you do not believe, that you will. We want you to know that God loves you and is willing to send his son to die for you. And he offers you grace and mercy if you will accept it. And that is the only thing that will make us right with God. That is the only thing that will make us ready for his return, is accepting his grace and mercy through his son, Jesus Christ. This morning, as we have our time of response, we want to give you some time to talk with Jesus and reflect on heaven. If you're here and you realize that you need to believe, I encourage you to take this time to talk to God. Listen, he will listen to you. 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He will forgive our sins and cleanse us if we ask. And during this time, if you need to believe, spend this time talking to God. After our response time, we would love to know if you have accepted his offer of salvation. So please share this with me, a neighbor, a friend, a family member, because we want to celebrate, pray, and encourage you in your decision. And for those of us who do believe, I want to encourage you to worship him. I've asked Sandy to lead us, and I can only imagine by mercy me. As we sing this song together, I want us to reflect on what Christ has and is doing for us. What it will be like in heaven with Jesus, worshiping him for giving us hope. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for your mercy. We thank you so much for your grace. We thank you so much that in the world we live in, we are not alone. That we have a God who offers us hope. And God, we pray as Christians that you will give us the strength to share this message with this world that so desperately needs to hear it. God, give us the courage not to be quiet, but the courage to truly share what you have done in our lives and done for us. And God, we thank you so much for this message of hope. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We thank you that right now, this very moment, you are preparing a place for us, Lord. And for that, we give you worship and praise. And God, we do pray for our friends, our family members, the people you have placed into our lives that we know need to hear this gospel. Lord, please begin to work in their lives. Lord, please send messengers to them to share this message of hope. God, may they come to know you as Savior and Lord. May they come to believe in you. Thank you so much, God, for everything you've done for us and everything you are doing for us. And Lord, please remind us of this hope and our times of need. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.